the Board of Supervisors?
That's correct. Unless there would be a contested election, results weren't, you know, certified by hand.
I see. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right, now with the GM report, your district finances. As you see, we have a giant red spike. We had to pay a lot of, was it medical or the insurance?
Insurance.
Insurance. So it's paid once a year. There it is.
It's more than that. They added a 10% rider on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, there's your big spike.
And that shouldn't be amortized?
Huh?
That shouldn't be amortized?
We did it like 1 year. We are the finance committee to put one exactly to compare instead to split it like.
To put instead of showing it just equal payments throughout the year, we're now showing it when it's paid.
Cash basis.
Yeah. So when you look at the water, it looks very similar to the overall because the water and the overall are very similar. Same thing with the wastewater. That's their share, so that's their spike. The water data, right now we're, for the lack of a better term, we're kind of like on average for water use at this time of year. Slightly above average for the month, but average-wise, overall, to this point in time, we're pretty much right on the same number. Year-to-day average is 104, we're at 108. The wastewater plant?
Tom Savity, Thomas.
That's cool.
Good. Go ahead.
The wastewater plant is slightly below average. Nothing really special there. We're at 0.088 and average to date is 0.098. So we're 0.01 difference. Now, even on its worst scenario, it's not that bad, really. Strawberry Creek Project, we're going to talk more about that in closed session. Anyway, the engineer went out and staked the potential easement. These are just some pictures showing where that red line is basically, that's actually the road line, the county road. That's their property. That's between the road line and the property. And so what we're trying to do is stay close to that as we can. This is just looking from the bridge, looking downstream. You can see right there where it says diversion. That looks like a big rock right there. That's your diversion point.
Doesn't look like you're diverting anything right now.
Yeah, no, we're diverting a lot of air.
Yeah.
This is just an overall view of it. The blue is what we've, looks like we've probably got that ironed out. That's going to look like where the easement will be. The diversion pipeline is anticipated to be done by the 25th. We were told yesterday or today, it'll be done tomorrow.
Done, the project totally.
Yeah, it should be completely done tomorrow, barring any other problems.
Isn't there some part that's supposed to go over the highway?
Yeah, the second stage.
Yeah, this part goes to the highway. The
right.
Next phase goes.
And when is that planned, the second phase?
Next year.
Next year.
And who's doing it?
Elko. The administration building, we got the solar panels on. Just wanted to give you an overhead view. You got the ones on the right are the back side of this building, of this area here. The ones in the middle is basically where that part of the building. And then the other one in where Hazy and I reside. Water tank number two is completed. And just for the record, water tank number two is that lone one up there above the green building, which is our chlorine and GAC, right? Yeah, okay.
So we kept our schedule every year, one of these, right?
That's the plan.
Right.
Okay, and this is kind of, that was a before, this is an after on the outside. Just to go back to that for a second.
The previous slide showed a little leakage.
That was before. That was before.
This is before.
That's the before, the after is got that taken care of.
That's the last little bit of water that was in there.
Yeah. So now it's all looking good. The wastewater project, the land acquisition, we're going to talk more about that in closed session, but we've come to, it looks like we have an agreement on, in concept, as to the amount of property we're looking to purchase. If I understand correctly, the school is meeting, I'm not 100% sure, it's either the end of this week or sometime early next week. It's kind of foggy on when they're meeting. But as soon as they get done, then they'll let us know if that's an acceptable thing, and as soon as it is, we start going into negotiations. So.
And they hired an appraiser, right?
They will be hiring an appraiser. And this is just to show where the project is. The new project is going to be us where those two rectangles are on the left. The shaded part is the existing road. This is option one. This would take this work on here. This here is the additional on option one. And then for option two, which is the one that I think we're going to be ending up with, it comes out, goes straight across, comes straight down, and over here it ties back to a fence. And we would acquire this area here. And the reason for that is when they go to do this, there's going to be a structure in this area. So we've shared with the school that we would like to have a fence line have that part inside the structure, and they seem to be amenable to it. So, and that's what we're going to stake out tomorrow.
That's very funny. Very funny. It's worked.
Yeah, but that's really. See, but it doesn't work on there for some reason.
It's on the wall. It's not on the screen.
Yeah.
No, I have a question.
Yeah.
There's two property owners that you're dealing with. I called Arts, and then some guy named Malik.
For a different project.
Oh, different project. Oh, that's a different project.
Yeah, that was for Malik is the owner of the property for Strawberry Creek.
Oh, the Strawberry. Okay, okay. I was just saying. So
and the wastewater is the school district.
Sidewall Arts. Okay, yeah.
We did our sludge removal, and this is just a pile of sludge. Actually, it's kind of interesting when they gave me these pictures. I'm like, that's really not a bad spot to be working. Anyway, that's just backhoe putting it in the sludge. This here is where the sludge was. You can see where it was actually right here. And these are some of the drying beds. These are the upper drying beds. That's the road to the lower. And there's your lower drying beds. And then this spot on top here, this spot here is where they put a lot of it to, you know, they'll scrape it all year long and they put it up here to dry.
Where is it? Is it outside the school?
No, the ponds.
Past the school.
Past the school.
Past the school. Down the Forest Service.
It's Forest Service. Yeah, it's land owned by USDA.
Yeah.
It's a neat area.
Yeah.
Pretty nice roads.
Yeah, it's got a pretty nice view out there. So.
Yeah.
Right across the street,
yeah.
Caltrans was doing a project, and everything was marked, but they didn't seem to care, and tore right through one of our sewer lines.
Oh,
nice shot.
Yeah.
Called before you did.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. So anyway.
How big was the sewer line?
It's this one right here. I forget, it's 6 or 8 inch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is it 8? 8 inch? Good. Yeah. And you can see they clamped it here and clamped it there. Had to replace that whole piece in the middle.
But they're fixing it, right?
We fixed it. Well, now they got to make sure they don't break it again.
12 hours overtime.
Yeah. Because they hit it at night.
So how does that, how do we get paid for that?
We haven't done anything yet, but it's probably something we will do. All right, for them to kind of get finished, because I hate to send them a bill and then
they're
ready again.
No, you can send them a bill after they're done.
Yeah, but they're not done yet, so.
What were they doing there to begin with?
They're putting in this culvert.
A culvert?
Yeah, the steel reinforced, or the corrugated pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to put that in there and connect to the pipe in the back already, and there's another one down here. They were going to add a new piece of section here. And for some reason, Not only that, I didn't know if you noticed, this also is a conduit for cable, I believe. They broke
like
that too. So these guys are bulls in a china shop.
So what do you do? I mean, how long was that not connected and who was being serviced by that?
Our guys went out and fixed it.
Right away.
They did it when
it's happening because it's sewage.
Oh, yeah,
what,
sewage.
Tonight?
Yeah. It's not like if it was water, we could find a valve, turn it off, and everybody could go without water in that area. But when it's sewer, you don't have a turnoff valve. So
you have to do it while it's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody flashed it.
Yeah, it's really not a good job. It's a bad job.
That's a bad job.
So anyway, just pictures of it in the daylight so you can get a better view.
It's a tough call.
It is, man.
Tough call to get.
Yeah.
Now how could that
be prevented?
Oh, how could that be prevented?
Yeah.
They could have been a little more careful with their digging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing, the Starbucks, would they have to get a permit to dig, or did they just start digging without
it's Caltrans. That's Caltrans.
Yeah.
It's their highway.
They don't technically have to do anything. But we did notify them that we have a pipe over there. Still hit.
Yeah.
Thank goodness got fixed all that time.
So anyway, I just wanted to give you a couple pictures.
Yeah.
Just on an overall, Strawberry Creek and the wastewater projects are moving forward. Like I said, we're going to talk about those in closed session some more. The pipeline will supposedly be completed tomorrow. Fire hydrant maintenance, we've got about 50% of that complete now. Barter Wells, they keep asking us for information. We're working with them on the rate study. Handled some various customer issues, I should just take that out. That's a given. And I'll be on vacation from November 28th through December 9th.
So what's the status of the rate study? Did they provide any times? Are they going to come back initially, or how does it work?
Right now they're still doing the analysis part, and once they get the analysis and Hazi and I sit down with them, we go over that, and we feel that looks appropriate. Then at that point, we start scheduling a meeting with the public. Because we have to be able to show them what we're looking at.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good to meet with them and tell, rates are going to go up, but we don't know how much.
What I mean is there's so many different ways of analyzing this,
mm-hmm.
amortizing it, and some of those choices are not only their choices, but your choices
right.
as to how you want to approach it.
Right.
So and you're gonna get into that stage.
Yeah, we've had conversations about all that. So they know, we believe our worst case scenario is we take $1 million, put it in, and we have to get a loan for the rest. That's the absolute worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that to work with. They're fully aware we're looking at trying to get a grant. But trying to get a grant and having a grant are two different things.
Right.
So what we'll probably end up having to go with is worst case scenario. And if we were able to get the grants, we can readjust the rates to compensate for that, bring the rates back down to a lower level. What that is, I don't know. But
okay.
That's what we can do.
Thanks.
So anyway, any questions?
Mr. Olson?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Any public comment? No? Then we'll move on.
Yes.
Becky.
Yes.
Becky does.
Becky, did you have something? Just raise your hand.
I did.
I thought you had to go to the bathroom.
Yes, Becky, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Leo how he took those great photos.
Yes, I wanted to ask
that
too.
Do you have a drone?
Yes, we do have a drone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We actually
They're really great.
Yeah, we purchased a drone for multiple reasons. One, for exactly what you saw, we can actually send the drone out to see what things are, what are happening, and then get it back and take a look at it. But there's multiple reasons. One, it also keeps us from having to climb up to the top of the tanks. So when we need
safer.
To, yeah, safer for that.
Safer
and if the weather's bad, it can still fly out. Like say if, just for example, say the like the sewer pumps, okay? They're way out there. And let's say the road for some reason got washed out. We don't know what's going on over there.
Okay.
Well, we can send the drone out, we can take a look, and we'll know by the drone.
Okay.
So
that was it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a good tour.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to this next item, which is the district vehicle and personnel vehicle use policy. Go ahead.
Yes. At the last meeting, we talked about the vehicle policy, and it was requested that we bring back like an incident report, which we gave you a copy of what an incident report looks like, as well as the records for one of our vehicles. So we provided that. If there's any questions, we'd be glad to address them.
Thank you. Mr. Olson, any question?
No.
Mr. Somebody? Appreciate that.
Okay.
I don't think we need a motion to approve. That's also something that's already in place. So any public comment?
Yeah. Just a discussion item.
No?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
We'll move on to the next item, which is a discussion of the water policy.
Okay, can we put number four, please? Last month, we talked about the water policy to some degree, and I mentioned about how we should probably look more at physical conditions versus just pumping or production levels, because the physical conditions actually dictate what's really happening, where the pumping is just, well, it's always higher in the summer, lower in the winter. You know, so that doesn't give us a good read. So what I've done is I've put together some more information to kind of lay this out. I call them triggers. Triggers are basically anything that would, you know, instantly spark that we need to take a look at this. So you basically have three triggers right now. You have the water quality, which if any well has a water quality issue, that's an automatic trigger. Water supply, meaning if the wells are not producing at an average rate, and they're producing less, and then well levels, if they're dropping when they should be higher. I just use this because this is one of the charts that I put together and I use. It really helped me with my visual, and don't worry about it, it's just kind of there. This is probably better to work with. The red line up above is the static average static levels. The red line in the middle is your average pumping level. This is for Fern Valley 1A, which is going literally 24 hours a day. And so we used it because it is one of the heaviest used wells. This year, the blue line is where we are in comparison to the average, which means it's a little lower than normal. The bottom of the well is the orange line, or gold line. It's at 655. And this is where we're talking about triggers. If water quality was bad in this well, it doesn't matter what level. It could be at static level, it could be at pumping level, it could be lower. But if the water quality goes bad, that's an instant trigger. We have to find out what's causing that. If the water level is dropping, and let's say it dropped down, and I put this, it's an arbitrary line. It says 50% over average. It's that magenta looking color. If we were to get close to that line, or actually hit that line, that would be an instant trigger too. Once we start getting closer to that line, we need to take a look and see what's going on. Why is it, you know, we may have to shut it off to see if it's actually going to recharge. Because sometimes if it gets low and then you turn it off and it doesn't recharge as it should, especially here, because this is one of those wells in the downtown area that recharges almost instantly, and let's say it doesn't recharge. Well, that tells us that there's an issue in that particular area.
Sorry, 50% over what's your average?
Oh, that's 50% more pumping. So you get it from here to here, add another 50%, it goes to here.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what that means. 50% over average.
Yeah. So the average is the pumping average.
Yeah. The pumping average. Yes. Now each well could have a different set of triggers, but just wanted to use this as an example because it's one of your heavily used ones. Okay. This is a little different. 80%. The 80% is 80% of the depth of the well. So, if your well is 655 feet deep, 80% of that is 524. So I was looking at that as maybe a trigger to see if, you know, that would be a better trigger to use versus the 50% of additional of a pumping average. So, like I said, we haven't...
Can you go back to that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got 566 versus 524. And this is one of the things that we are going to evaluate because each well will have its own set of triggers. And we talked about that Monday and a little bit today.
And those 378s aren't really 378s, are they?
One is not 378. One is supposed to be 414. Don't know why that happened. But it did. Anyway, 378, that's supposed to be, I believe, 414.
It's called a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes, it is. 524 and then 655. So it just kind of gives you an overview of what we're looking at and how to go about finding triggers. This is Fern Valley 2, and this is what I'm talking about. This is a really good example. Your static level here, you pump, this is where you get down to. I mean, this is the draw, it's what's called the drawdown. So your average is this red line, okay? Right now, it's just below average, which is the same thing that's happening at 1A. However, if you use 85%, you're really close. So that's one of the things we gotta look at is where in here should this trigger be? Because it automatically drops down below 300 and you only have 400 feet. So we need to determine what is the trigger mechanism. We gotta go back and take a look at the records and see, did Fern Valley number two ever have some issues? And when, if it did, what were the conditions of that issue? Was the pumping lower than this? Was the water quality bad? Did water quality go bad when it hit a certain level? I mean, these are all things we gotta take a look at. So it'll create a trigger for that well. But talking about the recharge, what we've seen in the past by the records is if you were to, let's say, you turned it off, it should rebound to like this. So if we were to turn off here, it should rebound close to back up here. Yeah, within a month.
It's quick.
It's very, very quick. So if it would only rebound halfway, we would be wondering what's causing that. If it didn't rebound by the next month, then we know for sure that there's some kind of issue that we're not aware of and need to find out what that is.
What percentage is that well to us?
Well, that one's 85%. You have various.
No. This
one total supply.
What would you say it is, Joe? We know Fern Valley 1A is.
This is by time. This doesn't work full time.
This isn't a full time well.
But it's on more times than the other one because that's the second well we turn on.
Yeah. So, well, for this year, it's been on, what, 7 months? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's been on for 8 months. But it was off for a couple months earlier.
Do you know how much it's produced?
I don't have that in front of me, but yeah, the answer is yes, but I don't have it with me.
But the percentage of our water that's coming out of this one is?
I don't know that answer. I'd have to calculate it, but I would say it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like 20-25%.
And those are the only two that we pump it out?
No. We got all kinds of them. I'm just demonstrating what, you know, the difference between one well to the next.
Leo, what quality parameters are we talking about? Nitrates, uranium, what for triggers?
Whatever the standards are for the well. And what, you know, if there's a threshold that we're not to exceed, we're getting close, our trigger is going to be less than the actual violation. So let's just say 80% of us, particularly constituents.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so the other question is, we looked into what part of the well is creating the contaminants.
Well, that's the thing we would have to look at.
Okay, because,
yeah.
See, where I was at, we put bands in to block off the parts where we're going to see high nitrates from. Is that something you could look into also?
Well, yeah, we'd be looking into anything and all if we get to that point. Canada, we've had pretty good water quality. And all the time I've been there, which has only been about almost 3 years, we haven't had any water quality issue. So that's why we're trying to create triggers, so that we don't have water quality issues.
Yeah. We have management stuff in place now for all our quality issues. Like we have some radioactive stuff that we take care of with it. And we also have manganese, and we also have other things that we treat. So all the problems that we know of right now, we're taking care of. And in this scenario, none of these have any problems, but if they were to develop a problem, we would take whatever steps necessary to make sure to mitigate it.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, is to try and find triggers so that we get ahead of it instead of waiting until it actually happens.
Okay, I had one, but on the different wells, the percentage on that magnetic line,
yeah,
the 85, some of the others were 50%.
Yeah, and each well could have a different number. That magenta line is what we're trying to create as a trigger.
Uh-huh. Okay. How come they're different from one well?
Because each well is different. So we're looking to establish where the trigger should be for each well. Is it at 80%, 85%? Is it at 50%? You know, in the way of pumping levels, that kind of thing. So we're really trying to work through that, but we have to have something to work with, and this is what we're starting with.
Yeah.
Okay? So like I said, when Joe and I sit down and start going through these one well at a time, we're going to be looking at the past and the history and seeing if there was any issues, and if there was, what were the conditions of that, and if we know what caused it, like maybe it was just, it came down too low, well, when did it start having that problem? That's where the trigger is. So you want to stay above it.
Yeah.
And actually, to answer his question, Mr. Steve, is 10%. I calculated right now.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, 10%.
10%.
There you go.
To the system.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is well 3. This is just a monitoring well.
It's just it used to be a well, but I don't know for how long it's just been a...
It's just been used for monitoring now. And it's only 84 feet deep. But once again, the average static levels are the red line. The blue line is where we're at this year. The gold line at the bottom is the bottom of the well itself. And if we were to use 75%, saying the static level drops 75% as a trigger, that's what the magenta line represents. Once again, I don't want to go getting hung up on the percentage of 75, 80, 85, 80. Each one of these things have to be looked at independently. I was just looking at it with an eyeball and saying, well, that looks like maybe that should be where it is. But there's no scientific thing into this just yet. That's the next part.
Leo?
Yes?
Since those are, you know, basically below 100 feet, does the state consider those groundwater under the surface, or the influence of surface water?
I don't think so.
Okay. And say in the county, they considered anything, you know, 100 feet was considered under the influence of surface water.
Yeah, but this is an actual well that was being used for a number of years, has been used for a number of years, too.
Yeah.
But we monitor each well.
There's 3 wells up there that we get the static, and they're not used, so we get a static reading every month.
Yeah.
And then we average them together because they're in like 3 different areas, kind of like a triangle.
Yeah. So we're working on trying to fine tune that, but I mean, generically, this is what we're looking at. Well 7, that's another one that's not being used, but basically being used as a monitoring well. Once again, red line is the average static level. The blue line is where we are at this point in time this year. Gold line is the bottom of the well, and I just put 75%, and that's what that magenta line represents. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you're using it as a monitoring well, on something like this, I'd probably want to raise it up because of the mere fact it's just a monitoring well. And if for any reason it were to drop down, say, like to 200, I'd want to know why then instead of waiting until it got lower. So, like I said, I was just using some form of numbers to take a look at it.
Recharge the same way it was used.
Yeah. Well 14, similar scenario. Yeah. Use 75% just to get an idea of what a trigger would look like. Well 23, this is kind of a neat one. I like this one because it shows you exactly what I've been trying to say.
Recharge.
The recharge, the rebound. The red line on top is your static. The red one with the squares is your pumping average, where you are pumping wise. The blue line is this year. So you see when it was shut off in April and May, it was at static level.
And where's that one?
This is well 23 Stratton.
That's in that meadow or field thing where Franz lives?
Downtown.
Downtown.
Oh, that's the one that used to use all electricity.
Yes, because it's 900
good.
Feet.
Don't use it.
Yeah.
So it's right below the brew pub?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a good example of what we're talking about. As long as it's staying within, if you will, given parameters, this is exactly what you would want it to be like. You turn it off, it goes back up. Okay? I use 75%, which is the magenta line, as a trigger, just once again, randomly using it. And the well's depth is 440 feet. But this is what we would anticipate most of our wells to look like, especially in the downtown area, that once you shut it off, it recharges by the next month.
Did you, and I know we were going through this, but I was just thinking, looking at this, it made me look at it a different way. Rather than taking a percentage of the depth, taking a percentage of an excess of the average.
Yeah, that's what that first one was, the 50%. That was an excess of the average. So that's, like I said, there's multiple ways we're going to be looking at these. In each well, we're hoping to use a similar theory for each well, but not all wells are going to fit that. So, but yeah, 50% in excess is probably a pretty decent standard to start with and see where it goes from there.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
The brew pub has a private well right near there, don't they?
I think.
Yes.
They do, don't they?
They do.
They have a well.
Yeah.
So, how does their water usage affect this well?
It doesn't appear it's affecting it based on records.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It could. There's a cone of depression for each well, and if the cones overlap, one affects the other. But cones of depression usually work in aquifers that are like alluvial fans where everything's pretty much the same. Up here in the granite, you don't know if you have a cone of depression or if you've got more of a, sticks of depression coming in. It's just different.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So with that, I just wanted to kind of give you a rundown. If you got any suggestions or thoughts, concerns, I'd like to hear them. What Director Olson said about, a percentage over the excess average is one of the things that we are looking at. But we have, like I said, I've got this, I'm getting there, and we need to look at each well independently. I would prefer that we have one, I would really like it if we had one standard that we could use for all the wells. But that won't be the case, but it could be very similar, just maybe different numbers.
Same methodology,
yeah.
Just different percentages.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and with that, if anybody has questions.
Yes, sir. When we get a rainfall, like we had a couple weekends ago, like 4 hours, and it came down pretty good.
Yeah.
Can you see on your records anything in the wells, or, does it affect?
We won't see it right away because we'd have to go out and actually shoot the well, meaning take a read. And we only do that once a month. So we don't really do it right after rains. Typically after rains, we're chasing issues.
These that you had up here, when were they taken? Were they taken after the rain?
They even after or before?
Before? Well, we just had this rain like a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
How much was that?
Easy, 2 weeks before that.
A week ago, it was like
six inches
here. 6 or 7 inches.
Yeah.
I don't know.
6 or 7?
Yeah, not this last one for the season.
Yeah. Oh, it was like 3 at least.
It was three. It came running down like a river.
This last one was at least 3.
Oh. Okay.
In my house, I have a gauge, and it was more than 3.
Yeah.
It was 3.41 at our house.
That's
really close enough.
That's really what
we added some water.
And that, and that's one of the things too. Just because it rains 3.41 at our house, at Peter's house it could have been 5 inches, and in his house it could have been a little bit different. And that's like the wells, trying to monitor which well got the water and how much it had to seep through and how much is ground well affected. That's a complicated formula. And so what we do is we just measure them on a monthly basis and see where they're at. We've had times where the creek that feeds into Foster Lake is rushing like crazy, and then a week later the lake is still nothing. So it there's a lot of factors going on. You have to have sustained water for a long period of time before you get really the rays of the water in this area. And just like Leo said, because of the granite, Mr. Olson here always has water in the creek, but other people don't. Any other questions?
Oh, just snowpack is really important to all our water. You know, and we haven't really had a significant snowpack.
And why is snowpack important?
Is what the?
Why is it important?
Oh, well, because it's slow melt and it feeds.
Exactly. Because all the water that's in the creek that runs off the hill, that doesn't help us at all.
No.
It's the water that slow seeps into the soil that helps us. Exactly. So if the creek is running like crazy,
that's
good, but it doesn't necessarily help our water supply.
Exactly.
Because it's running off the hill.
Yeah.
It makes a mess.
Sometimes. It's pretty though.
It is.
Peter.
So, these are, first of all, let me congratulate you doing these studies. It's really interesting about each of the wells. But our water policy is about projections. It's about looking ahead. It's about stage one, stage two, and how to affect the public and the use. I'm not sure how these numbers relate to that. Let me just continue on that sense. In that sense, the elements that seem to be important is what Gino mentioned, snowpack. It means long-term projections of rainfall. It means what's the static level in these particular wells? Do they always stay the same? What's our refill ratio? So what I would like to have a sense from this wonderful individual readings, how are we getting using these numbers in order to do the projections, which what we should do for water policy?
Well, there's two things being combined there. One is projecting what's gonna happen. And the other is what's actually happening and where are we and what conservation efforts
right.
we need to make, you know, now.
Right.
And what we're trying to do with this is get to the now.
Right.
This isn't going to assist in projecting what water runoff and rain is going to do to the watershed. We can't make that projection. We can only take our readings and see where it is. But when it comes to where are we and what do we, you know, what phase should we be in, this is where that will come into play.
But how are you going to use these numbers? And I'm just saying, obviously, the ideal of a water policy is not that we get into the crisis situation,
right.
but to avoid the crisis situation
exactly.
and to reduce it before the crisis mm-hmm. comes. So I appreciate all these numbers. I'm not sure how they play together for the water policy.
Well, you got to let me kind of
finish
it out.
Go.
Yeah.
No, I know there's a lot of work left.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work left. But once again, the main focus of the water policy here that we're working on is for, if you will, for the here and now and what's going to happen immediately for
right,
you.
Right.
Okay. It's really difficult to project in granite what anything's doing. So we will project it from, you know, what we know is happening and what we're seeing happening. And if things are starting to fall down, so to speak, we need to really push on the conservation and go into a different
right.
mode.
So the idea
so
of what number are we supposed to look at?
That.
Because I agree with you, we discussed this at length, that the current policy doesn't make any sense.
No.
Okay.
Leo, maybe I missed it, but what is the, how much water do you have above the pump set?
I'm sorry?
How much water do you have above the pump? like on your number one well, the Foster Lake one, or whichever one it was that your first, maybe I missed it. So how many feet of water is above the pump when you're running at 24 hours a day?
Yeah, I just see that picture again.
Just that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, but I'm not sure I'm following what you're saying, because you're saying above the pump. And
is this
on the well itself?
When it's pumping, what's the pumping level?
The water? Your pump?
Yeah.
Say your pump is set at 400 feet. How many feet above? Yeah, how much
does
the water level above the pump was running?
Pumping level.
Yeah.
Oh, that's our pumping level.
Yeah.
I know it's the pump level.
Yeah.
How many feet above the pump is it running?
Oh,
the bottom of the well?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Each one is
the
different.
Water.
I mean, the pumping level, distance between the pumping level and the static level. That's what you're asking.
I understand that.
Yeah,
I
understand now. You're talking about where the pump's actually located. Yeah,
right.
Well.
It said at 400 feet. Is your pump running? Is your water level at 360 feet? Whatever.
That's the thing. That's the next step of this. Right now, all we have is static levels, pumping levels. We have the well depths. We have the perforations. I do not have the record of where the actual pump is sitting in the well.
Okay.
I have to get together with Joe, and we have to get that determination.
Right.
Because that will come into play on a trigger as well. If we're getting too close to that pump, we need to shut that thing off or just taper it back dramatically so that it has coverage.
Next question is, are you running VFDs or are you running just line starters, or what are you doing?
There's only a VFD and a treatment plant.
We only have one VFD.
Okay. Because there again, if you had a VFD, you could vary the your pumping level now.
Right. So it's one of the things they haven't really had to have too much of here lately. I'm not saying that won't be this case in the future. I personally like VFDs. Of course, they're expensive.
What does VFD stand for?
Variable drive.
Variable frequency.
You're right, just missed the middle one.
Yeah.
Variable frequency drive.
It's meaning it
put a probe in the bottom.
Switch
it
to my covers
to sound. Automatically adjust and keep the water level above the pump. So, say you have a well, it's good for 400 gallons a minute. It's hard to drop down, but it'll automatically adjust itself down to say 350 or whatever to keep that level.
Yeah.
Our biggest
so keep that level up.
Our biggest well is like 90 gallons a minute.
How are these? Are these pumps set, or can they be moved, or how is that?
Well, that's what I mean. We got to look and see where they're set in the well itself, because I don't have that at the moment.
You can move them up and down.
No, you can't.
They set it to the best location.
Yeah, when they produce when they produce the well, they do all the testing, and from that testing, they determine where they're going to put the bolts, which is they put it, and that's where they'll put it, and that's where they set it. They figure that's the best spot because they'll still have water over the top when they're pulling and running full bore, and the bolts don't go direct.
So one thing, it's long-range predictions, which you can't get into, but we've been in a persistent La Nina, which is basically a drier condition in the southwest, but it looks like we may go into an El Nino 23-24.
I traveled last week to go to my grandmother's 106th birthday over the weekend.
106.
She's going nowhere. I mean, she's fully there. Her body's slow, but I mean, her mind is completely intact.
Wow, that's great.
She's completely independent. We actually put her in a care facility about a year and a half ago. She was living on her own all this time. But
she's running a care facility? That's great.
Yeah,
basically,
she probably is running it.
It's funny, the people that work there, they tell me, they go, your grandma's amazing. She's the oldest person here. She's the sharpest person here, and she takes less medications than anybody. I go, she's Italian. They go, we know. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry, we get that sidetracked.
Oh, El Nino.
Oh, yeah. When I was flying back, not so much flying up because it was dark, but it's flying back, flew in the day, and I mean, the Sierras are covered. I haven't seen that much snow in a couple of years on the Sierras.
Yeah.
So that, they're looking good. A couple more storms, and that's going to look really good. I know when we were at Sacramento Airport, they get this big window, and if you're in a certain spot, you see the Sierras. And they're off quite a ways. It's just pure white.
That's what we need here.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what you need here, but
we had quite a bit of rain this year already.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I think we're ahead of schedule.
Did we ever find out who busted the sign? The stage 2 sign?
The wind.
The wind, I think.
No.
That's what I expected.
No, we do not know who knocked that sign over. We have no idea that whether it was wind or an individual. We have no idea. Great, but if there's no more questions on the manager's report, we're going to move on. Any other questions? Excellent. We have item number 6, consider investing with California class and approving resolution 788. 10 minutes. Board directors will consider approving investing public funds with California class and approving resolution 788. If I might introduce this, I went to a meeting for the Small District Association, California Small District, Special District Association. And they had an individual that talked about another vehicle that we could invest in. Many of our investments are making very, very small returns in the neighborhood of 0.05% or 0.1%. And they talked about having something that wasn't wild, but it was just a little bit better than that, in the neighborhood of 3%. They can't guarantee, of course, but that's just what they've been doing. And so we had an individual come out and talk to us, met with Leo and Hosni, and presented a few things. Last meeting, we talked about that meeting, and we asked them to come back with a proposal to invest a small amount of our funds into this fund to see if it did as it has in the past. And if it does well, great. We could take it out with no penalty. We could pull more in. It's just another vehicle that we'd like to use when we have money that's sitting in an account making zero or next to zero. Perhaps it can make a little bit. There are other funds that are similar to this. And so it's just another opportunity for us to invest in something that's approved and safe and within the guidelines that we need to use for investing. So with that, I'll turn the time over to Leo and Hosni.
You said everything. What we have in front of you is the resolution that the board approves. It allows us the opportunity to invest a small amount of money and give it a try.
Yeah, and he says the return on investment 3.1 last year. So we will not take the risk. We'll put a little money we have to invest in, like I suggest like 25,000 to see how much the return would be. Because honestly, I called BNC and they said thank you for your money. Nobody need to take, because unfortunately, governmental fund, they need to match every dollar they put. It's required.
Yep.
Any bank, any financial institution, they match you. Chase said that's enough what we have for you. So we say like some investment.
Mr. Olson, any comments?
No.
Mr. Zabadi?
Yeah. So generally speaking, I'm all for not taking any risk whatsoever with the funds of the district. At the moment, if you put the money in treasuries, it's 4% per year to begin with. But as an experiment, I would go along with it, provided this resolution says limit to 25,000 or something like that. At the moment, there's no limits in this resolution as to how much money could be invested in this particular product.
Okay, yeah. We're more than happy, I imagine, to put in there that 25 will be invested at this time and no further funds will be invested until approved by the board.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, we can add that. Any public comment? No? Okay. Entertain a motion to approve as amended.
Motion to approve.
Okay. A second?
Second.
Okay. We have a first and a second as amended. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Passes 3-0. We'll take a short break and then go into closed session.
Can I make a comment at this point?
Yes, you may.
Okay. When you come out of closed session, could someone email me and let me know if any decision was made?
Yeah. I can let you know that right now there will not be a decision.
Will not be any decision.
I also all right.
Can I come to your house and knock on your door and tell you?
No, because there's a poker game going on here.
Oh, forget
the come and tell you.
If I knock three times and say the right name, can I come in?
Yeah.
So bring your gift.
Mr. Shen, yes. you need to make a comment for the
meeting. Jack, good luck.
Meeting next time to be 1 week earlier.
Oh, yes. Before we go into closed session, I will announce that next month's meeting will be 1 week earlier due to the holidays. So it'll be on the second Wednesday rather than the third Wednesday.
It's close to the Christmas.
That's great. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
Thank you for working.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's going to be on all week, so.
No, I don't quite understand. Post session, that's just when we just record, no public?
No.
Yeah.
And it's regarding.